What is going on? Welcome back to the No Cell Wrestling Podcast, and today we're going to be taking up what seems to be an impossible feat, fixing Monday Night Raw. So, for the past, maybe 3 years, Monday Night Raw has been borderline unwatchable. There was a point in 2020 where Paul Heyman had creative control and it was getting pretty good, and Drew McIntyre had his face turned, but, recently, towards the end of the pandemic and the return of fans to Monday Night Raw, the show has been unwatchable, flat out unwatchable. You cannot put it on the television and tell me that it's good TV objectively. You're lying to yourself. And personally, I think that you need to fix it, right? It just needs to be fixed. It's broken. Call it hubris, but I think I can fix Monday Night Raw, kind of, right? So, here are my pitches, or at least ideas, and then we'll do a fantasy booking from here to WrestleMania on how I would make these fantasy bookings work. So first of all, this is probably, you know, the most famous one. Everybody calls it out as soon as you talk about fixing Monday Night Raw. Raw doesn't need to be 3 hours. I understand that you have network commitment, so I would say you make Raw 2 hours and 15 minutes, and you dedicate the last 45 minutes to Raw talk. So you have multiple people come on giving Raw unscripted promos to build their character. I think that could help significantly, right? It can give depth to guys who don't get the most television time. You can build up an Angel Garza type dude's promo skills by giving him no script, telling him to go out there, go talk for 10 minutes. You can have 5-6 people on the show come out and have a 10-minute segment. You can build feuds through Raw talk, and I would keep the host Paul Heyman. But if you could manage it, you probably couldn't. But if you could manage it, I would try to bring back Renee Young. Again, if you can't manage it, she really doesn't want to come back. You could bring on Mackenzie. I believe her name is Mackenzie from NXT. She's like their backstage interviewer. She's pretty good. I would bring her if you can't get Renee Young. Or you could bring in Caleb Braxton. Anybody works, to be honest. But basically, the last 45 minutes of Raw talk, you have 4 or 5 unscripted promo segments. Replays from the episode, replays from last week's episode, kind of like a recap type of show. You can get guys on talk. It's probably going to kill the viewership, but you're not ruining your product by making them write a Lord of the Rings length amount of television every week. Number 2, I would get rid of scripts, and I would get rid of a team of writers. I would have a head writer or a head creative honcho. So I would say you get rid of scripts, get a script out of people's hands. They sound like robots. They don't sound realistic. Promos are boring. You can bring guys out there, let them toss out the script, let them talk like human beings, and you're going to get good television. And with the writers thing, I would get rid of writers. I would have one head writer, which in this case would be Bruce Pritchard, unfortunately, and I would have the head writer work with the wrestlers they're putting in storylines to come up with ideas that they like and that they can put on television. Because I feel like if anybody has a good grip on their character, it would probably be the guy who's playing the character. Number 3, inject new talent into your roster. They have Karrion Kross and Keith Lee, but build them so we're not seeing the same people on television every single week. You gotta build these guys and really give them screen time. Stop having rematches, pay-per-view rematches, any type of rematch on free television. You have the largest wrestling roster in the world. You can't manage to put on a new match every week. Now, I understand putting on a rematch occasionally. If it's a really good match, you could have a second match. But you can't just keep having the same two people fight for, 4 weeks straight like they did with Nikki A.S.H. and Charlotte Flair, or Andrade versus Rey Mysterio. They fought every week for like months. Angel Garza and Street Profits and Andrade, they fought forever. So you can't just have, you can't just keep having rematches. You got the 24/7 title, which isn't exclusive to Raw, but it's terrible. Just a meant that it didn't work, and I have no clue what Vince McMahon's beef is with television championships. But bring in a television championship, a Monday Night Raw television championship. It's the easiest way to spike viewers, get people to watch, if you're promising a title match main event every single week. If not every week, then every other week, or often. Right? You don't believe the WWE Championship is going to be defended every other week, but the TV title, that makes sense. You can get people to watch easier. Get rid of Alexa Bliss's gimmick. If you're going to fire Bray Wyatt, kill the gimmick completely. It's pretty gross to keep his gimmick, keep his idea, and just give it to a new wrestler. I'm not going to be doing the women's division in this booking, but I could probably do a separate one, just because it's already long. Bring back the Hurt Business, with the exception of Shelton Benjamin. Look, the Hurt Business was great. I thought it was great. You got MVP as the mouthpiece. You got Cedric Alexander as a wrestler. Lashley's back. And Shelton and Cedric are already feuding. Feuded. So you can't obviously just put them back in a group together like nothing happened. So maybe look to add some new talent to the Hurt Business. I will get to that in the booking. Make the new generation look strong. You got to build guys like Keith Lee, Angel Garza, Karrion Kross, Matt Riddle, Ricochet, Umberto, Damian Priest. And, you know, Walter doesn't want to come up, but if he ever does decide to come up, build up Walter. Make them look strong. Put them over as the new division. You can get new stars. You can get new draws if you present them as superstars. It's really not that simple. It's really not that hard. Sorry, it's pretty simple. You need a new presentation. Your logo has gotten boring. Your branding has gotten boring. Spice it up. You got fans back. Come on. Let the show look brand new for the new fans returning. You gotta have less no finishes on TV. Less no finishes. You can't have every single match end in a DQ. It just doesn't make good television. Get more 20-minute matches out there. Like, I'm willing to watch Monday Night Raw if we're gonna get Drew McIntyre versus Ricochet for 20 minutes. I'll watch that. I'll tune into Raw to watch that. So get more real matches out there. More title defenses on TV. We talked about this with TV title, but defend the belts. It can be a pay-per-view exclusive, but it would be better if it wasn't. You could get more viewers. I'm not saying defend the WWE title every week, but if you want to once in a blue moon have Lashley versus some up-and-coming star who's got beef with him, if you want to have that happen, you know, every once in a while, I'm cool with that. Invest in the Miz versus Morrison. Look, two companies have already made John Morrison their guy. That's not an accident. He's a star. And honestly, if you do this right, you could have a Johnny Gargano Tommaso Ciampa situation on your hands. We'll see that in the booking. The tag division. You've got Donovan Dijak and D.L. Madden. You can give them their names back and take off the stupid face paint now. Thanks. You got RK-Bro as the champs. Veer and Dilshanky or D-Shanky. I'm sorry if I mispronounced his name. I don't really know it that well. But the Jinder Mahal's henchmen. You got the New Day. You got the Hurt Business, who I would bring back. Maybe find Cedric a tag partner. Or don't. Who cares, honestly? WWE doesn't seem to care. But, I mean, Cedric and MVP would be a fine tag team. You still have the Viking Raiders. You can call up Imperium, the tag team. They're very clearly willing to work a U.S. type of travel schedule. And I would call up Mustache Mountain. If you're going to build a tag division around anybody, I would make it Mustache Mountain. The booking. Okay, so here we are. We're on the road to Extreme Rules. Important notes for the build to Extreme Rules. Again, I would call up Mustache Mountain, and I would have them almost immediately challenge for the Raw Tag Team Championships. I would have Randy pull double duty that night, and have Randy Orton face Bobby Lashley as well. I would have Damian Priest fight Humberto Carrillo. They're both in the same division, and Humberto Carrillo's been fighting for the belt anyway. And I would scratch the Jinder Mahal Drew McIntyre feud. It's just not worth it. Toss it out. And I would have Karrion Kross look very dominant on the build up to Extreme Rules. Now for the Raw side of the card, I'm not going to book any SmackDown because we'd be here for hours. But Raw, real quick, Lashley is going to squash Randy Orton easily. Damian Priest and Humberto Carrillo are going to have a back and forth 15, maybe 20 minute match where Priest retains. Sort of let the hardcore fans know that Priest can go and give the casual fan something very nice to watch. I'd have Mustache Mountain almost win the tag titles because Randy pulled double duty. He's tired. Well, I guess this match would happen beforehand. So in that case, I would have Mustache Mountain almost win simply because they're better, but have them lose because Imperium comes out and they attack them, feeling like they deserve the tag title opportunity over them. I would have Miz and Morrison fight in a street fight, no holds barred, whatever you want to call it. Maybe an Extreme Rules match because it's Extreme Rules. And I would have the Miz win after a low blow followed by a skull-crushing finale onto the steel steps from the second rope. It just sounds like a mega death move in my opinion. I think it'd be dope. And I would have Karrion Kross squash Jinder Mahal in like 25 seconds. So the next pay-per-view is Crown Jewel. John Morrison is very clearly not going to be happy that he lost to The Miz. He's going to raise some problems. He's going to refuse to leave the ring until he sees The Miz. He's going to keep attacking The Miz. Maybe this might be heel behavior, but the guy was just stabbed in the back by his best friend. He's probably not going to be the best guy. I would have Damian Priest and Keith Lee get into a feud, right? Keith Lee being the number one contender for the title and Damian Priest having to defend it. I would set up a tournament to crown the former 24/7 new Raw Television Champion. A tournament, I would have it be 16 participants. If you had to point out two, I would say the two biggest competitors in this bracket are Angel Garza and Drew McIntyre. You can have other guys be in it. But basically, that's the finals. Angel Garza versus Drew McIntyre, which is going to happen at Crown Jewel. Mustache Mountain and Imperium can't keep their hands off each other. They keep fighting. Goldberg obviously returns to get his revenge on Lashley. I mean, they already built to it. You may as well pay it off. I would have Lashley versus Goldberg, too. I would have Lashley squash Goldberg. Make him tap out to the Hurt Lock. Not pin him. Make him tap out. So that we definitively know Goldberg lost and does not deserve a title match. Priest versus Keith Lee. This can also go 15 minutes. Make Priest your real workhorse. Have him barely squeak by Keith Lee in a great match. Have Mustache Mountain versus Imperium. I'd also have them go like 20 minutes. Look, you got a pay-per-view. You may as well throw out all the big guns. I would have Imperium win at the end and have them kayfabe break Tyler Bates' arm. Miz and Morrison too. So Morrison raises enough hell to get his match at Crown Jewel and last man standing. I would have John Morrison win after a Starship Pain onto a table, if that's even possible. I feel like it would be maybe from the apron onto a table on the outside, which The Miz doesn't get up from and is carted off actually after such a devastating move. McIntyre versus Garza in the finals for the Television Championship Tournament. Garza cheats, rake to the eye, low blow, wing clipper, 1-2-3, Angel Garza wins. And I would have Karrion Kross, who has been on a tear just destroying local talents and mid-carders. He's just been annihilating them. Jeff Hardy steps up, you know, he's, oh, I've beaten you before, I can beat you again, and at Crown Jewel, Jeff Hardy is murdered. So, Keith, the build to Survivor Series, look, WWE is going to WWE red shirts versus blue shirts, what can you do? Well, you're obviously going to have all your champion versus champion matches. The Miz is still hospitalized during this, so that's an excuse to not have him and Morrison fight here. But I would have Team Raw be Keith Lee, Drew McIntyre, John Morrison, Angel Garza, and Ricochet. Angel Garza, Drew McIntyre, they just can't get along, and Angel Garza turns on Team Raw to attack Drew McIntyre, beats him up, maybe with a chair, and he abandons Team Raw. Morrison is attacked during the match by the returning and still slightly injured Miz, and he's hurt and taken away by Raw Medical. So all of a sudden, Ricochet and Keith Lee are down 2-5, but they manage to fight back. Ricochet puts in a good effort, but is ultimately eliminated, and I would have Keith Lee, who at that point would be down 3-1, come out as the sole survivor and win it. So TLC is the next pay-per-view on the calendar, December's pay-per-view. Miz and Morrison, they can't get along. Brawls backstage. Brawls taking over shows. I mean, in the middle of a match, you would have Jeff Hardy versus Cedric Alexander, and in the middle of this match, Miz and Morrison just come beating each other up down the ramp. The backstage comes piling up. Again, this is the middle of the match. Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville are heated. You know, they're like, oh, if you guys keep doing this, you're going to be suspended. Morrison doesn't care. He keeps attacking the Miz. Neither does the Miz. They keep attacking each other. Eventually, they decide, look, we just need to let him fight, basically. So at TLC, Miz versus Morrison, 3 Stages of Hell. Lashley and Keith Lee are feuding. Keith Lee, after his 3-1 return from Survivor Series, after his efforts, he is rewarded a title match by Raw management, so Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville. The feud starts between Lashley and Keith Lee, basically who is the strongest of them all. Priest and Cedric Alexander get into a sort of debacle because the Hurt Business keeps messing with Damian Priest because Cedric Alexander wants the belt. Priest isn't happy about that. Cross is just... he is just running wild on Monday Night Raw. He's destroying every jobber. He's getting to mid-carders now. He's just annihilating people. You can have him destroy people like Mustafa Ali, Mansoor, Drew Gulak. Like, he is a destroyer. And eventually, Cross decides, hey, I need more competition. So he goes for Drew McIntyre. And they basically go on like a little hoss spree, fighting one another weekly, brawls and stuff. Cross's usual squash matches are interrupted by Drew McIntyre, and they just need to fight. Garza and Humberto are feuding, revived their feud from a couple years ago about who the better wrestler is. And Imperium, after destroying Mustache Mountain, feels there number one contenders for the belts, so they challenge. So at TLC, Miz vs. Morrison 3. 3 Stages of Hell, actually. The first fall is a tables match, because TLC. Second fall is no holds barred, so Morrison wins the first match after a Spanish fly through a table. Miz wins the second fall after the super death mega variant of the skull-crushing finale. And Morrison makes the Miz tap out with a sleeper hold. He makes him tap out, not pass out, he makes him tap out to finally, once and for all, end their feud, their blood feud. I know this is probably unpopular, but maybe this is the one time they could blade, maybe? I personally don't like blood, but I think this would elevate the match completely. Cross versus McIntyre, so the match starts out, you know, people are expecting it to be a hoss fest. No, Karrion Kross annihilates Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre gets maybe a headbutt in during the entire match, but Kross completely annihilates him. Buries him completely. You know, forearm smash, cross jacket, McIntyre's out. Garza beats Humberto in a back and forth TV match, maybe give it 10, 12 minutes. Imperium beats RK-Bro after Riddle accidentally hits Randy Orton with the knee, and you can start to see Randy Orton's pretty upset about that. Cedric Alexander gets help from the Hurt Business to capture the US title from Damian Priest. Lashley barely beats Keith Lee due to some MVP interference. So you know, Keith Lee and Bobby Lashley are going neck and neck, right? Hoss fest, beating the crap out of each other. Looks like Keith Lee has got Lashley dead to rights. He's setting him up for a spirit bomb. Lashley, MVP grabs Keith Lee's leg before he can walk out of the corner. He's distracted, tackle into the corner, regular spear, hurt lock. And that's it, Lashley retains. Cross legitimately can't be stopped. He is now destroying regular features on television. He kills Priest, he destroys Sheamus, and basically Shane McMahon is sent out there and he's like, hey, hey Cross, hey pal, buddy, do you want to stop ruining the show? please. But Cross is not happy about that. He attacks Shane McMahon, and their match is set for at the Royal Rumble. Morrison also puts his sights on the Royal Rumble. Having finally defeated The Miz, he can move on to better things. And at this point, I assume the crowd would be behind him, right? Nobody hates John Morrison. You've given him three huge matches and a couple of huge wins, so I think the crowd would be behind him. Garza and Ricochet start the feud. Ricochet wants the TV title, and MVP is secretly in Ricochet's corner, right? He's telling him, if you ever need help, the Hurt Business is here, you know, I got you. On an episode of Raw, RK-Bro gets their rematch against Imperium for the tag titles. They just can't seem to get on the same page after that. You know, Randy's got his head on a swivel now. He's worried that Riddle might accidentally hit him, which leaves him open for Imperium to sort of take advantage, and it leads to Imperium winning. Keith Lee says he's cheated. He demands his rematch, and he gets one at the Royal Rumble. Priest and Alexander are still feuding because Priest lost in a dirty way. He wasn't beaten clean. So, after beating RK-Bro because they can't get on the same page, Imperium is dominating the tag division. They beat Donovan Dijak and D.O. Madden. They beat Mansoor and Ali. Eventually, the Viking Raiders step up and they get a match at Royal Rumble. Lashley beats Keith Lee clean at Royal Rumble without the help of the Hurt Business. Imperium beats the Viking Raiders pretty handily. Trent Seven, who's been very upset about his best friend being off with a broken arm, comes out to attack Imperium, but he just gets manhandled and carted off. In the TV title match, Humberto Carrillo versus Ricochet, they're going off. They're having a pretty good, you know, Battle of the Super Juniors type match. But eventually, MVP comes down to ringside. Ricochet looks annoyed, but he continues about his match. There comes a point where the ref goes down. MVP slides into the ring. He has the cane in his hand. It looks like he's going to go for Humberto. Ricochet pulls the cane out of his hand, you know, seemingly saving Humberto, but turns around and hits Humberto himself with the cane. Laughs, shakes MVP's hand, hits the 630, wakes up the ref. 1, 2, 3. Ricochet wins the TV title and joins the Hurt Business. Alexander rolls up, gets the dirty pin, feet on the rope against Damian Priest after a back and forth contest, and retains his belt. So the Hurt Business is kind of on top. The only thing they're missing is the tag titles. Cross versus Shane McMahon, as you can guess, isn't very close. It's a squash match. Cross just blows through Shane. Medics come out. Stephanie McMahon comes out. She comes to make sure that her brother is okay. She starts to get into the face of Cross. She even slaps him. And as she turns around to go to look back at Shane, forearm to the head, Triple H comes out from gorilla position. And Cross puts Triple H in a cross jacket, leaving him out, leaving basically Shane, Steph, and Triple H all out in the ring. He leaves, and we get on to the Royal Rumble, the main event. Towards the end of the match, Riddle and Randy are already in the match. They've been working together. They're kind of on the same page, figuring things out. Randy is on the edge, and Randy is standing on the apron, and he's brawling with Xavier Woods, right? They're punching each other. They're both standing on the apron. Riddle goes to hit a knee on Xavier Woods, but Xavier Woods pulls Randy Orton in the way and accidentally knees him off the edge, and he looks shocked. He looks upset, which gives, he's kind of like standing over the rope like, oh my god, I can't believe I just did that, which gives Morrison the opportunity to eliminate him. Morrison, who came in at number one, ends up winning the Royal Rumble, last eliminating The Miz. There's a build-up to the Elimination Chamber, so right off the bat, Raw got the Rumble winner, so SmackDown can have the Chamber match to determine who's going to face Roman at WrestleMania, unless you want to just do The Rock, which in that case, the Chamber match could be for anything. Raw's not going to book it. So Lashley and Morrison get involved with one another, seeing as they're going to be fighting pretty soon. There are Raw talk segments, brawls. Basically, Lashley nor the Hurt Business can put down Morrison. He just keeps coming back. Ollie and Mansoor work their way up to a match against Imperium for the tag titles. Cross is suspended the Raw after Royal Rumble for 60 days, but he has consistent video calls on Monday Night Raw threatening to destroy the McMahons completely. Alexander starts to feud with Jeff Hardy for the U.S. title, and Ricochet continues his feud with, he doesn't continue, but he starts his feud with Humberto Carrillo. So at Elimination Chamber, at the very start of the show, Lashley and Morrison come out brawling, and Morrison ends up being carted off by WWE medics after a hurt lock. Ricochet retains his belt against Carrillo, and Alexander retains his belt against Hardy, each of them using dirty tactics. Imperium beat Ollie and Mansoor, and after the match, Trent Seven comes out again, and he attacks Imperium, still hurt about his friend, and now he's hurt about, you know, them hospitalizing himself. He gets beat up again. Triple H appears at Chamber to cut in a promo, a nice change of pace promo, basically promising to annihilate Karrion Kross for what he's done. Fastlane's the next show up, and because the Hurt Business has just been messing with everybody, Morrison, Hardy, and Carrillo all team up to face Lashley, Ricochet, and Alexander. It's a 3-on-3 type feud, and the match is booked for Fastlane. Imperium is booked to face Trent Seven in a 2-on-1 handicap match at Imperium. Cross versus Triple H, the contract signing, is at Fastlane. And, before Imperium can get into their handicap match, they're given a tag match against RK-Bro one more time for the titles. And a spot almost identical to Riddle kneeing Randy almost happens, but this time Riddle stops. He gets rolled up by Martel, who Randy breaks up the pin. And now Martel ducks, and Riddle hits the knee on Randy. Again, he looks, bro, I can't believe I just did that, bro. And he looks very confused, gets rolled up. 1, 2, 3. After this, Riddle is, you know, apologizing to Randy Orton. Randy's had enough. RKO, punt kick. Riddle's carted off. So at Fastlane, you've got the 3-on-3 match where the Hurt Business win. Lashley spears Morrison through the announcement table, which takes both of them out of the match. And Hardy is hit with a lumbar check plus a 630 senton combo and loses the match. And as the Hurt Business is celebrating their win, Shelton Benjamin returns and he attacks Cedric Alexander after their match. Cross and Triple H's contract signing obviously falls apart. There is a brawl which ends in a doomsday plex at the table and a cross jacket on Triple H. Cross comes out on top, probably puts him in the cross jacket while staring into the camera. This is what's going to happen at WrestleMania. Throws Triple H down on the ground. Medics come in. Imperium just annihilate Trent Seven, right? They take their time beating him down. After the match, they continue to beat down on Trent Seven, but before they can continue to, you know, beat him down, Tyler Bates makes his return from his kayfabe broken arm, and he makes the save, and he fights off Imperium. It seems like that's the match. One important thing to the WrestleMania build, John Cena makes his Monday Night Raw return. And for a couple of weeks, you know, he's on television. I want to say 2 weeks he's on television cutting promos, not wrestling. And Damian Priest is not happy about that at all. He feels like Cena's stealing TV time from him. And Cena's like, okay, fine. Well, then how about I give you some TV time? So me and you versus Ollie and Mansoor. And during the match, Damian Priest, just too upset to keep himself together, attacks John Cena, turns heel, hits the broken arrow, because if you're going to be an archer, the Falcon Arrow should be your finisher, and you should call it the Broken Arrow. It's perfect. But he hits the Broken Arrow on John Cena to leave him crumbled and in a mess in the middle of the ring. So the Raw side of WrestleMania, Karrion Kross beats Triple H, right? Triple H, he puts up a better fight than anybody has against Kross. Maybe give it 4 minutes. Triple H mounts some offense. He hits his comeback moves. Maybe he hits a spine buster. He goes for the pedigree, but gets hit with the back body drop, and that's basically the end of the that's the beginning of the end. Slam, slams, knees, knees, doomsday plex, forearm to the back of the head, Kross jacket. Triple H just passes out. Damian Priest beat John Cena in like a 20-minute stormer. You know John Cena can have a 20-minute stormer. Orton versus Riddle in a blood feud match at WrestleMania. Randy Orton wins with a punt kick. Just putting over his, using his seniority and his veteran mind to outwork the rookie Riddle at WrestleMania. Mustache Mountain defeats Imperium finally after all that they've put them through. Keith Lee wins the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, and because he wins, he gets a number one contendership for the, any title on Monday Night Raw. So you challenge for the US title, TV title, WWE title, doesn't matter. Shelton Benjamin beats Cedric Alexander for the US title. The Gold Standard returns. He gets, I'm sure he'd get a nice pop. Ricochet beats Carrillo in their second match on WrestleMania. Probably opens the show with a 13-minute Battle of the Super Juniors type match, which Ricochet wants clean this time. And the main event, Morrison versus Lashley. Well, Raw's main event, I'm sure Rock versus Roman is the real main event. But Morrison beats Bobby Lashley. Finally beats the Almighty. Gets the gets the WWE Championship. Maybe he gets drafted to SmackDown after that. I'm not sure what the plan is with the WWE title, but yeah, that's pretty much how I would book the rest of Monday Night Raw from now till WrestleMania. I think it was pretty good. You bring in some new talent. You have the RK-Bro implosion, which we all know is going to happen. Mustache Mountain gets a nice spotlight. The Hurt Business returns. Ricochet gets a heel run. Maybe the Damian Priest aspect wasn't the best. Keith Lee keeps having big matches, but he keeps coming up short. Maybe that does lead to a heel turn. And I think that Morrison being built as the big, as the superstar babyface of Monday Night Raw, I think that's the right choice, right? Because he's a new option, but he's not young. He can provide leadership to the new guys whilst feeling fresh at the top of the card. So that's how I would book Raw. From now, that's how I would fix it. Again, if you think it's bad, let me know. If you have anything that you would do, let me know. I'm going to sign off.